Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone, and happy new year, and may this year be the year for us, for the United States of America, for the Americans, for the American people. Let it be the year that we take all the knowledge that we have and we use it and put it to good use and start educating some of the people who are near and dear to us but have no idea what they're talking about. So, welcome to American Freedom Watch Radio. We are brought to you live on blogtalkradio.com/American Statesman. This is Karen Schoen, your host. And please visit our website. Please visit agenda21today.com. That is the plan. I don't know if I could emphasize that any more than what I'm saying. Agenda 21/Agenda 2030 is the plan. Just listen to the people who are running for office on both the Democrat and the Republican ticket, because this is a globalist ideology. What happened to Ricky? I don't know. Anyway, we have a great show tonight with Ricky DeSantis. I just got off the phone with him, and he has not called in yet. So that's okay, because I get the opportunity to talk to everybody and tell you, I truly believe that we are sitting on the razor's edge. And what we do in 2019 is going to make a huge dictate for the 2020 election. Oh, Ricky, if you are on, please press 1, because we can't read your number unless you do that.
Karen, can you hear me?
Ricky, everyone. There's Ricky DeSantis, a wonderful friend, great patriot. We love you. Anyway, that's enough of an...
Well, Karen, please allow me to say the honor is all mine. The honor is all mine. And can you hear me okay? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Okay. Sally, what do you think? Can we hear Ricky?
Sally?
What happened to Sally?
I was speaking to her earlier.
Interesting. I can hear you fine. I was rearranging a few things, and I had put my mic on mute so you didn't hear me coughing.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
I
can hear everybody fine. Everything is good. Happy New Year, everybody.
Great.
It's off to a lively start, as we can see.
Okay, great. We're going to dig right in, folks, because today, in less than an hour, the president is going to tell us and make his pitch for the border wall. And the most frightening thing that I saw today was that there are still over 40% of the people who think a wall is a bad idea. That's horrifying.
Frightening, but it's the dumbing down. But Karen, first and foremost, I would like to say that I'm humbled, and it's a great honor to be able to appear here tonight with you, and we have so much to cover, so that the audience understands quickly how we got here, who the major players are, It's not going to be the Cortezes or the Betos, what I call Vato. It's people like the governor of California, who was the district attorney for California for 4 to 8 years. Soros spent hundreds of millions of dollars getting district attorney puppets in place in 2016 in each state. And we witnessed that with all the massive election fraud in Florida. And
absolutely,
we're going to touch on some things towards the end of the show as what we have to do state by state. And I'm not going to go into it in depth. I'm going to touch on it. We're going to do another show in the future for our rollout, correct?
Absolutely. Now it's very important that everybody understand that all of these people are all connected. They're all following the same plan. Their plan book, they have given to us. Either you comply with their environmental stupidity or they'll find a way to crush you. The end.
And it's not even an environmental plan. It goes against the environment, actually.
Right, but they call it an environmental plan because they turn around and say, oh, you want to use that straw? You're destroying the environment. And I'm thinking to myself, who in the straw business do they want to destroy?
Well,
who do they want to put out of business?
It's actually an imaginary utopia, $40 trillion make-believe green plan, because I haven't seen any blueprints for planes flying across the world with solar panels on them, nor have I seen any farm tractors plowing the fields. But I don't want to waste the time with that. What I want to do is, one, let everybody know that if you're sitting around waiting for a civil war to start because you're watching for bullets, you've missed the train. You've missed the boat. You've been in a war for 12 years now, and it's like the frog in the pot slowly heating you. We are in full battle. But please, I'm going to go over many things tonight, but do not be disparaged, because I have a battle plan that I've been working in my mind for years. I've been under attack since 1992. I've been fighting this battle when I was in the U.S. Treasury, while it was being run and emptied by a criminal, draft-dodging, drug-addict rapist by the name of Bill Clinton. And they came at me hard. It was another battle. It took me years. I won, but they devastate your life and your bank account. They came at me again in 2010. It took 7 years, but I won. But this is what they do. And I want to start the show. Let me just say, I'm going to make it very interesting. I'm going to show you who this president really is. I'm going to show you the courage this man has. Karen knows what I'm going to speak to because we had a conversation today, and Karen was in New York when I was, and it was so beautiful because when I laid it out like the pieces to a puzzle, Karen's light bulb went off, and she was like, I remember that. I was there. Oh, my God. So I'm going to go into that in depth, and it's going to – believe me, it's going to give you that life, that when you go into battle, that courage, that eye of the tiger. You're going to understand how shrewd this man who plays four-dimensional chess, okay, and the college and the business school where there's a 5 to 10 year waiting list to even get into, that they try to say is dumb, when the majority of their party have IQs of about 89 and have representatives like the guy from District 4 in Georgia who believes islands float like icebergs. Okay?
I'm going to jump over, folks.
Yeah, I'm going to get into that so you'll have a great appreciation for that. I am predicting, or I have been requesting for 2 years now, for our president to, one, do what he's doing tonight every month. I wanted him on the TV at least once a month and on the radio once a week in our homes like Franklin Roosevelt did, but
exactly.
not be like Franklin Roosevelt. What he's doing tonight is the first one, and we've needed this for the first 2 years, every month, and he should have done these things while we had a Republican-controlled Congress, Senate, and White House. He should have pushed their backs against the wall instead of waiting for the betrayal 6 months before the election. Well, 13 of these traitors, like Ryan and Flaky Flake, who bailed out 6 months before the election, not allowing any candidate to prepare to run, okay? So I'm going to go into that. I'm going to go into our foreign enemies, which is the globalist vision for the new world dominating country, China. As you know, as we came out of World War II, the world currency was taken away from England, and it was handed over to the United States because without the United States, everybody in Europe would be speaking German, okay? So because of that, it was transferred from the British sterling to the U.S. dollar, which, to be honest with you, I don't feel that it has. Because if we are the world currency, then why does it take $1.27 to buy one British sterling pound? And I'll touch base on that, how everything is set up and how our country for the past 20 years has been chopped up, but more so over the past 12 years with the British monarch owning American companies like Holiday Inn, Walgreens, International Security Company, GS4. You'll see them headquartered in Biloxi, Mississippi. You'll see them in Alabama. You'll see them in the rest areas of Florida, for God's sakes.
One
is GS4? I'm sorry?
One of the most frightening is the textbooks. Pearson is a British company, an English company. They are housed in England. What
are
you
saying
they are doing to our children?
Yes. They did it in the 60s with the Beatles, ha, ha, ha. And like I've been telling people since I came down here, look to England because that's what they expect and plan to shut down your throats here and implement in 9 months from now. And I used to warn people. GS4 is the security company that Hillary Clinton, while Secretary of State, hired as a general vendor without placing its list on the name of the State Department, totally illegal, when Clinton and Boehner and McCain and Kerry and Obama were running an international weapons operation, and it was GS4, the British Monarch International Security Company, that Hillary Clinton hired but did not name, that hired Al-Qaeda in the Benghazi compound that murdered, raped, and sodomized our Ambassador Stevens, who refused to go along with the plan for gun running and weapons running, and as you know, what happened to our five military guys. Okay?
Right.
So
yep.
If you're running up by 10 and you put
and
a rest
those of you that have come in late, this is Ricky DeSantis, and right now we're talking about the non-scandal called Benghazi, when our ambassador was slaughtered, and Hillary Clinton, after begging for help, and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and company sat on their hands and did nothing on purpose because she didn't want a disruption of their gun running business.
And at the time, they were moving Stinger missiles from Libya, Benghazi, over to Syria with McCain's boys, which they then, after Benghazi, which they did on September 11th, by the way, I was in New York at the time, and I was never so angry as I was that day. And this is how evil these people are. They love these dates, these 11ths, and so forth and so forth. But please, I digress. I don't want to get hung up on this. But next time you see these little SUVs or cars that say GS4 Security, that is a British monarch company. What the are they doing in our country? Security?
Yep.
It's a national security issue. But moving forward, let's move on. We have a lot to cover, John, things, how they've taken total control. It's not just Twitter. It is not just Facebook. They've now taken over your email. AOL and Yahoo is now handled and operated just like Twitter and Facebook. Your email does not go to where you send it. It goes to them first. They review it. They are now editing them, adding, and changing them. They are even adding comments on it that if you write about something, they then will write on there, not checked for accuracy or things like that to undermine what you've written in your email. So I'll keep it simple. Your email is no different than Twitter and Facebook right now, or YouTube for that matter. I'm going to go into many things that are going on with our military because I'm going to be discussing the Civil War. But I would like to first start tonight by reading quotes by two presidents. And the reason I'm doing it is it's going to tie into what our president must do tonight is declare a state of emergency and then impose, execute martial law because we are already in a state of emergency and martial law. We have been so since 9/11. And as Bush left and Barack Hussein Obama came in, he then issued a state of emergency and then martial law so that he was then in control. You must do this when you come in to reverse the previous president's martial law and state of emergency so that you take control. Now, here's the difference. Bush and Barack Hussein Obama then handed over their powers and authority to the international globalists, the cabal of bankers, the Vatican, the New World Order, and that's been handling and everything. And that's why you've seen what's happening with the migration of illegal immigrants into Europe and the United States, with the UN making all these decisions, okay? We are in a state of emergency, martial law right now under Obama. And we remain there, and that's how they've been operating the deep state, and that's why you see the arrogance and belligerence of people like, well, good, he's gone, McCain, and Flaky Flake, and Ryan, and Obama.
And Romney.
And well, we'll get to Romney in a minute. I got a little thing for you to know about him and Pelosi. But Clapper and the Muslim pedophile.
Brennan,
the Muslim pedophile, correct, okay? So I want to read these two quotes. First of all, the first one is from our first presidential traitor, the socialist communist who obtained his PhD in Prussia. Prussia was the northern province of Germany before Germany came together and brought all its provinces together under one country, Germany. That's what Hitler did. Prussia went against Napoleon with Russia prior to that, back before the World War I, and it was of communist in nature. And that's what Hitler was fighting in Berlin, communism versus Hitler socialism.
Right.
Those
were the Bolsheviks.
Yes,
and the first thing that they did when after,
yes.
And they were, this is where the Communist Party came from. They stopped being
right.
Bolsheviks and became the communists.
It actually came from the British monarch. Lenin, Marx, and Darwin all lived in the same apartment building in London, paid for by the British monarch to do their works. Karl Marx with his work with communism in the books, Darwin with, as we all know, evolution, and of course Lenin, who was given the millions in gold from the train to travel from Switzerland into Moscow and run the revolution. We are right now in that type of revolution in this country where you have a dumbed-down, low IQ, believing in this utopia where that everybody's going to get the same and the government's going to provide everything. And trust me, it doesn't work. Look to Venezuela, look to the Soviet Union.
It does not work. Okay. The major problem, folks, and why this is so important is because this is what the background of the school has become.
Yes.
So we are now turning out people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, not because she's a bad person, but listen to her. That's her school training. This is what
but
all
see,
of this is coming from. They
I
grow
never...
up. And they grow up, and then they accept all of this. And then, of course, if you have a mouth, you get selected to become the spokes from wherever you are. And now she's going to be a big to-do, and I certainly hope that people pay attention to her because she represents what these kids now think, and these kids are going to be in our government.
Yes,
and they are now.
I agree.
You're doing, learn from where this all came from, because the only way you can fight against it is if you know what you're fighting against. Sorry, go ahead.
As Hitler said, give me your youth at 5 and I'll give you the future. And I think it begins before the public education gets their hands on them. Because if you look at what's being created as the next generation in this country, it is illegal immigrants that are illiterate in the language of the country they're coming from, let alone can't speak English or read or write it here. They know nothing about freedom. They come from oppressed societies. Then you have the welfare state in this country, and it's like Pavlov's dog. So I believe she is a bad person because, as Pavlov said, give me 2 thoughts. I can make you 1 bad. I can make you 1 good. Just give me the chance at it, and I will do it through motivational reward.
Absolutely. And then to make matters worse, the population is being destroyed. The American people are being destroyed because you hit on something, Ricky. What happens before the kids go to school? What's a must that they have to have before they're allowed to even put one little toenail in school?
Mostly formaldehyde and aluminum injected in them.
That's right. They have to be vaccinated. Does anybody know what's really in those vaccines? Because now we are up to 6 in 10 kids are autistic. 6 in 10.
Mercury, formaldehyde, and aluminum seems to be very good at doing that to you. So we have this mindset, as Hitler said, give me your youth at 5. So it's being developed in them as soon as they're born because you're a product of your environment. So you're born into an environment that doesn't promote cognitive or critical thinking or independent thought. But let me start with Woodrow Wilson. This stuff isn't new. Make no mistake. It even goes back to Plato, which is in B.C., okay? So with Woodrow Wilson, the 28th president of the United States, he was a guy who was responsible for signing the Reserve Act into law and handing America's banking system over to the money-manipulating mafia in 1913. When he left the White House, he wrote, "Since I entered politics, I have chiefly had men's views confided to me privately. Some of the biggest men in the United States in the field of commerce and manufacturing are afraid of something. They know that there is a power somewhere so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, so pervasive, that they better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it." After he was out of office, Wilson voiced regret for cooperating with the banking cartel's plan for the Federal Reserve banking system, and he wrote, "I am a most unhappy man. I have unwittingly ruined my country. A great industrial nation is now controlled by its system of credit. We are no longer a government by free opinion, no longer a government by conviction and the vote of the majority, but a government by the opinion and duress of a small group of dominant evil men who now are allowed to bypass the Constitution, the perimeter of sovereignty and law of this nation. He is no different than Cortez or Botto. These are opportunists. They are innovators. They are losers. They don't have the attributes or qualifications to be in this position. They have but one only qualifications. They are sociopaths. They are psychopaths seeking power. We have them all around us. We have them in our local government. We have them in our county government. We have them in our state government. When you see them, identify them, go after them with everything you've got, because that's how Clinton started out. That's how Barry Sotero started out, and on and on and on. Here we had Wilson, professor, Virginia, PhD, Prussia, academia. Let me tell you something. On Wall Street, and Karen was a teacher, and I'm sure you'll agree, I walked among some of the biggest idiots that couldn't find their way out of a paper bag, and they needed a book all the time for direction. They had no street smarts, no wisdom, because they had no life experience, and that meant they had no critical or cognitive thinking abilities to be able to envision. If you read something as I just read right now, to be able to see it, to see a picture of what you're reading is what you're seeing. Karen has that ability. I do. Most of the people around me do. That's what's lacking with our education system and our generations from millennial to Generation Z right now. And this is what authoritarians and dictators and communists, from Stalin to Hitler to Mao to Lenin, on and on and on to Barry Sotero and the rest, that they promote. Now, getting to Trump quick, we have him coming on tonight. Let me get on with a great president. Most of you will remember him for his executive order 11110. And that was John F. Kennedy, who was corrupt. His father was a criminal, a bootlegger. He was involved with the Delanos and moving with illegal operations. It's where he made his money. He then took that to get into politics. He had plans for his son. When John got into office, he really was no different than a Bill Clinton. But after time, it weighed on his conscience because he had such a strong Christian upbringing by his mother. And to a point that he stopped and said, I can't do this and have it on my conscience. He had many problems with his health. He was in pain all the time, and it wore on him. He turned on them. He went against them, okay? And you know what happens when you go against these people or this group or this cabal, as Woodrow Wilson spoke to. Now, I would like to read. And then I want to get to his executive order, and then we're going to move quickly into everything tonight. So, President Kennedy, he condemned all these secret societies, which we are dealing with today, and President Trump is referred to as the deep state, corporate media, fake news. He said the word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we as a people inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, to secret proceedings. And he continued from there. We decided long ago the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. The amount of documents classified under Barack Obama, the number of journalists jailed, killed under the NDAA Act of 2012 under Obama was more than all previous presidents combined.
Yep.
As Kennedy says, for we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy. Hear that word? Conspiracy. Look it up. They came up with that word after the Kennedy assassination to make fun of people who spoke to the conspiracy. And a conspiracy involves two or more people that conspire to do bad, okay? Whether it's robbing a bank, take over a government, or kill somebody. Anyway, For we, as a people, are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy, that's the cabal we're facing now, that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of election, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. This is what the monarchs are. This is how the British monarch, it's never changed. It is still our enemy, and you will learn that tonight. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, political operations. Its preparations concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, that means killed, not praised. No expenditure is questioned. Better reserve, time for an audit. Ron Paul has said for many years, so did Kennedy. Now, President Trump and Reagan did, was shot a week later. No rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. Kennedy is the one who issued the interesting executive order number 11110 in 1963 that many interpreted as directing the Secretary of Treasury to start once again issuing the silver certificates. I have some of those, and you can exchange them for silver, okay? They were done after Lincoln and the Civil War in 1878 by the Treasury Department then. Now, Kennedy's order, 11110, which, by the way, was the same number of the executive order issued by Ronald Reagan 2 weeks before the attempted assassination on his life by the Bush family's best friend, the Hinckley's son, John Hinckley. Okay? And immediately, the first action Lyndon B. Johnson took after being sworn in on the plane as JFK's replacement was the reversal of Kennedy's executive order. Now, let me just repeat that because I'm done. Listen to me. The first action was state of emergency, martial law. President was assassinated. The same thing occurred after Reagan's assassination attempt.
Right.
State of emergency, martial law.
Exactly.
There's
another point that I want to add, too. There's a big difference between what Kennedy was facing, because Kennedy had an ally in the Department of Justice, because Robert Kennedy was the Attorney General. So this was a thing that the two of them were putting together, and Kennedy knew that if he went after them, that Robert would make sure that they were investigated and put away, and that was what made the scare even worse. Because now with Trump, look at what the Justice Department has done and has managed to do.
Fired Karen, conspiracy, because they had to plan it out well in advance, and they had to cover every angle, leave no rock unturned, because it wasn't just Brother Robert over the Department of Justice. It also had to fear one of my heroes, Barry Goldwater. They also had to fear people like McCarthy and other people. Okay, and they
Please understand that, you know, he didn't do this alone. Yes, you're absolutely
right. So, again, after Kennedy, boom, state of emergency, martial law. Next, LBJ, his first action, reverse Kennedy's executive order on the Federal Reserve to audit it, shut it down, and act according to the Constitution, because if you read the Constitution, only Congress has the powers to make coinage in this country. Moving on from there, his next executive order involved Vietnam. So he basically immediately went to state of emergency, martial law, and used that power to reverse the previous president's executive orders. Remember I said, we are currently under the martial law and state of emergency put in place by Barack Hussein insane Obama, okay? Our president now must and has to tonight get on with it. It's
yes.
been over 2 years.
It's been over 2 years. Very, very bad advice. The people that he thought he could count on, he couldn't. Of course, we knew that, but it took him to know that. And that's really because we lost a lot of time.
To stop the hemorrhaging at the border, 22,000 minors came across it in December and tens of thousands of more young adults just in December 2018. So he knows to get that border wall done and the illegal immigration, stop the hemorrhaging. He must go to state of emergency, martial law, in order to reverse everything that Barack Hussein Obama and his puppet masters implemented secretly via executive order from November 6, 2016 to January 20th, 2017. They were busy setting up that deep state once Trump was elected. So for him to obtain that power, because what happened was that power was handed off to the UN run by the globalists. And that's
yep.
what this country is being run by right now.
By right now, yes.
So
it's being run by the United Nations. That is 100% yep. true right now, folks.
Yep.
And that's
so
what
he must go state of emergency, martial law, and he immediately reverses every single executive order done by this traitor. He then can call military tribunals. We can go all the way back to Bush Sr. We can bring him to trial in absence. I don't care. I'd like to. I'm willing to volunteer to be the guy.
The live ones right now. Listen,
I'm willing to volunteer to do the hanging, shooting, tar and feathering, whatever it is. I think I've earned that right. But moving on from there. Okay? With that said, I think I've explained why it is necessary if we are to get anything done. We've wasted 2 years. They are moving against this country economically now with the markets. The markets, stock markets, have nothing to do with the economy. It is simply artificial intelligence utilizing algorithms with digital currency and digital technology with puts and options utilizing derivatives that allow it to grow. It is not based on any real value, any real profit, or any real asset. It has nothing to do with that, okay? Make no mistake. You have price-earning ratios of 2,500 to 1. What that means is, to buy that stock that's only making $1 in income, you got to pay $2,500 for that share, which is absolute absurdity. It got to that price by the Federal Reserve window handing out free money at 0% to corporations who then took that money, did not invest it in research or capital expenditures or expansion, and then increasing the economy and production of things of that nature. Instead, they took the money at 0% and went out and bought up their stock that's out in the public forum and artificially drove up the price of the stock. Do you know what that's called? It's called fascism. It's what Mussolini did, okay? So we're getting hit from every angle.
Now, also, simultaneously, they were depressing the housing market because their goal was to put Middle America out of business. And Middle America was doing well and started buying homes and started investing in them. And then when they made free money, you could go and you could mortgage your house for a real high amount because you were paying so little in interest. And that's what people were doing. And then they pulled the rug out and said, we're shipping your job overseas. Oh, your house is in foreclosure. Oh, my goodness. Well, the hedge funds that they pumped up with the money that Ricky is talking about is what they used to buy up neighborhoods. so they could knock them down and build sustainable development cities, of which all over southern Florida you will find huge apartment complexes that are empty. They're empty, folks. Who do you think is going to go move there if they're empty?
It's just like, as you know, I was in the U.S. Treasury for about 7 years during the Clinton administration, and I witnessed him steal all the money out of Social Security, throw it into the general fund, and claim he had deficits every year when, in fact, he claimed he had surpluses when, in fact, he had deficits. And back then, I was writing about it and showing what the real deficits were, and that's when they came after me. In addition to this, most people don't know what I'm about to say, and I've spoken about this on many radio stations. Bill Clinton stole all the money that had been appropriated to rebuild all the levees and water system in New Orleans. He stole it and used it to pay off all his donors. He put up all the land. They went and bought the lands in Florida, the wetlands, the marsh, way down by the Keys and the wetlands and all that. He then took that money from New Orleans and used that government money to pay off all these people for this worthless land they had, and he turned them into national parks. And he said, just get 1,000 buses, put them on trains and buses if anything ever happens. Well, you saw what happened, and then the Democrat governor of Louisiana has the power and decides whether you can bring the National Guard in or not. Well, they intentionally didn't let the federal government come in. They wanted the disaster worse. Nobody's ever held accountable. Nobody's ever arrested. Just look at Hillary Clinton, Uranium One, and so forth. But I don't want to go off. I want to get back to this because we got a lot to cover. We only got 20 more minutes to go. So let me get into Donald Trump and who is Donald Trump and my experiences with Donald Trump so you understand how smart this man is. And at the same time, you have to realize this man knows exactly what happened to Kennedy. He knows exactly what happened to Reagan. He knows exactly what happened on 9/11 in those towers in Building 7. He was there. He was the biggest builder in New York. He wasn't even allowed to bid on those 11 buildings on the 16 acres, okay? Now, Donald Trump, after 9/11, immediately was on the news letting everybody know that those towers, there were bombs, explosives, demoed, they were brought down. He knew that they were built with asbestos. They were built in 1968. 200 tons of asbestos in each building. But that's not what I'm here for. What I'm here for is he knew that. And Bush was president, and he was outraged what he was seeing. He saw lawlessness. He saw a dictator in his eyes that are killing American citizens right in his own city. He saw what it would do to the economy. It cost $100 billion in negative effects on the economy. Donald Trump builds $1 million to $50 million condos. You collapse the economy in New York and the stock market, he's not going to sell any of those units. So, number one, he came after Bush, and that was right after 2001. He started speaking to running for president in 2004. He started attacking on the war in Iraq. So Donald Trump became serious and vocal about running for president on the Democratic ticket in 2001. What they did was they tried to set him up at first with this guy, Jerry Epstein, another billionaire from Wall Street. So he had Epstein befriend him. He has Donald coming down to parties, a party at his place down in West Palm Beach. And as you know, President Trump has his place in Mar-a-Lago, okay? Anyway, Trump, it's 2002. He goes down to Epstein, naive, not knowing, because these people are freaks. You just don't think the way they do, and you're going to understand when I continue. So Trump goes down with his bodyguard. He appears at Epstein's mansion. He walks in, and there's all these 12-year-old, 13-year-old little girls in the swimming pool and all this stuff, okay? He says to his bodyguard, we're out of here. He says to Epstein, oh, this is great. You look fabulous. Wow, this is such young girls. Wow, you're amazing. Like Donald Trump does with everybody. If you notice one thing about Donald Trump, he says positive things about everybody, including Pelosi and Schumer, who I would personally throw up on. But anyway, with that said, he got out of there. So that setup did not work. Donald Smart, he's the negotiator, remember?
Right.
What Donald did was, there was the railroads on the West Side Highway in Manhattan up around 57th Street. They were the railroad yards. Everybody wanted those to develop those. You couldn't get it. It was locked into regulations and all kinds of stuff with the city, and it never could be used for private use and so forth and so forth. Well, to make a long story short, the deal ended up, Donald Trump got it, and he didn't run for president in 2004. He developed the Trump condos on the West Side Highway. They still have the name on the side of them, Trump condos. They're high skyscrapers. You're talking 80, 90 stories high.
They're magnificent.
I mean,
the apartments are incredible. They're absolutely magnificent.
Yep, $10 million units, $50 million units. So now that's around 2004. Now, the markets start to go bad because of Bush, okay, and he gets his second term. Bush starts to attack our soldiers, and our soldiers start getting sent to Leavenworth for shooting terrorists on motorcycles, carrying bombs, coming in to kill their guys. And Bush is running deficits, and he's destroying the economy, and the real estate market is starting to show signs. The real estate market shows its first signs at the top 1% level long before it gets down to the middle class subdivisions, okay? In other words, it doesn't hit the $200,000, $400,000, $600,000 homes at first. It hits the million-dollar condos, the mansions. That's why it hits California first, Vegas, and it comes east.
Then New York. And I just read that the New York condos are now being devalued and being sold for under $1 million.
Correct. So, with Trump and this going on, and going into 2005, 2006, he's like, okay, I've had it. It's time to step in. Because he's going to lose everything. You see, the downturn in the economy, the lawlessness, the U.S. Patriot Act, everything that he was raised to believe in. Most people don't know that Donald Trump's father was the original financier of the John S. Burke Society. You think Donald Trump is tough? You should have known his dad. His dad beat up 10 cops in New York who were communists that were trying to kill another cop who was reporting them. But I'll save that story for another day. But Donald Trump was there with McCarthy and Barry Goldwater, his dad, okay? So he had that type of upbringing to begin with out of Queens, and he's a blue-collar guy. He's multi-billion, but he's a blue-collar guy. He eats at KFC, and he drinks that pathetic, poisonous Diet Coke. But let me move on. We don't have much time. So what happens is, he's going to make his move. He's going to run on the Democratic ticket in 2008. He is at the highest point of his notoriety. He's doing TV shows, WWF, anything associated with gold, glamour, hotels, casinos is Trump, 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 okay? Well, they can't have this. The globalists can't have this. The New World Order, everything's going according to plan since Bush Sr. rolled out the plan and gave up the presidency to the draft dodger, the dope addict, the rapist, Bill Clinton, okay? Well, Trump's throwing a wrench in it. We got to stop this. So what they do is they get Saudi Arabia, which is another puppet regime created by the British monarch after World War II, and it's just another Rothschild branch of laundering money, because they learned back in 1905 with Rockefeller, Standard Oil, that we're not going to stand for monopolies. Theodore Roosevelt went after them. So after Rockefeller, what they did in Standard Oil, they said, we got to put straw men up there, front men, and make them out to be heroes like they did it, like Bill Gates or Tim Cooks or Schmuckberg from Facebook or a few other guys I can't think of right now that I was talking to Karen about earlier today. Oh, Bloomberg and the rest of them. Those people are frauds. They're straw men. Okay.
Right, they are
but
puppets.
Anyway.
They are doing their bidding, they're doing what they're told, and they're paid handsomely to do that, and mostly it's to lie.
Romney's another one. Not to interrupt you, Romney's another one. But let me
Romney
move on, because we're tight on time. So what they do is they get Saudi Arabia to come in and give Trump $1 billion-plus for those skyscraper condos. Two of them hadn't even been built yet, and the market's collapsing. So they buy his stuff, take care of him to shut him up, and then they take care of his bankruptcies with the casinos in Atlantic City, because, again, they destroyed the economy, real estate market, the stock market, blah, 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 blah. So they make a deal. They get him to back off, and we end up with either Hillary or Obama. Okay? So now we're there. So now Donald Trump, the deal maker, has been amassing huge amounts of wealth at their expense. He's learning how they operate. He's playing them. He's getting over on them. And we're going from there. Now, we end up with Dennis Hastert, another pedophile, resigning from the House, Pelosi taking over in 2006, the Democrats basically running everything, Bush selling out, and never answering any questions or doing anything. We get into 2014-2015, Trump casinos. They pay him off to not run in 2016. They drag it out as long as they can, just like these 13 that resigned 6 months before the election, so no candidate would have enough time to run. They try to do that with Trump, because you remember, Trump didn't enter till June 2016.
No, he ran in 16. 14.
I'm sorry, 15. He came in late. It was June, okay? Because he financed his own campaign. He put up $500 million of his own money. He got the casino sold to the banks holding the bonds, and they now had to pay him for his name being on them still. He made out like a bandit. And then he double-crossed them, because he knew that if he walked away this time, and we ended up with one of those 16 clowns that ran in the primary on the GOP ticket, or Hildebeest, Hillary Clinton, the country would be over, and his empire would be gone. So that's when Donald Trump, the man of the deal, the deal maker, jumped into the race, and that's how we got here with him today. So you have an understanding of how shrewd this man is.
He has a triple vested interest to make sure that this works. First of all, he always loved the country. So Donald Trump is not a sadistic or a tyrant. He really loves America. That always came through in all the things that he did.
He went to NEMA in Cornwall, New York, not far from my house in the suburbs. Look, he's a patriot. Make no mistake, but you may
understand. He's always a patriot, and he loves his family. He may not be a good husband, but he certainly was a wonderful father.
Wait a minute. He is a good husband when he is your husband.
Right. That's yes.
Okay. Now, let me real quick finish this up.
But even when your husband, he's really good. However, from what I understand from people who were very close to him, the pendulum swung both ways for both of them. So it was not a secret that Donald was in a different apartment every night, because she was in a different apartment every night also.
Well, let me say this, Karen, and I don't want to go astray right now. I want to finish up the story. So in 2015, the GOP and the Dems went right after Donald. That's why he had 16 opposing candidates in the primary. Now, with all that said, you know who he is. Let's get back to the Civil War, and you need to understand something. China has bioweapons in this country already.
Ready.
You do understand that the flu strands come from China. And all these vaccinations they create are to try to fight off those Asian flu strands. China has been sending 10,000 pregnant Chinese women. Just go to your local flea market and go look at who the two anchor stores are run by at all the flea markets. I call them anchor stores because they're around the end. They're usually the biggest, and they're Chinese, and they import the stuff in Florida. They come in from Mobile, and they put all that Chinese-produced crap that isn't even safe full of lead in all these flea markets, and nothing's being done about it over Obama. We lost the Panama Canal. We built the whole thing, spent all the money, and Carter gave it away to them in 78. Now, the illegal immigration. Remember when Obama, in 2010, went over to Kenya, after he sold out our country in Cairo in June, he then went over to Kenya, told all his make-believe African countrymen, you don't need air conditioners and you don't need cars.
Yes.
Remember that?
I remember that.
He was telling us right then what they were planning on doing.
Absolutely.
They were not going to need cars, and they were not going to need air conditioners, because they were going to move them all out of Africa. They were going to depopulate Africa of any young men, because what was going to remain there was skeleton corporate security for the Chinese and European companies that were in there and going to extract all the resources, and everything would be produced in China as the New World Order plan is. NAFTA,
and while they're doing that, they're stealing our patents, they're stealing our businesses, but our businessmen are kind of stupid too. But that's another conversation. But they are flooding our universities with the H-1B visa people who need to go to school. And then these students go into the incredible industry and start stealing all of the secrets,
right,
the trade secrets of the industry.
Right. So,
you got NAFTA,
Karen.
We have NAFTA over here. Destroying
the United States from
above. We have Chinese schools. We have a Chinese charter school in Florida, which I thought was really interesting. And, of course, China is involved in our agricultural business, and they are buying up huge tracts of land. So
the largest railroad yard in the United States is in Kansas City. You take 35 north up through Texas, San Antonio, you get into Kansas City, the largest railroad yards in the country, and they're owned by Mexico. They were
Obama gave
Mexico, and it's sovereign Mexican land.
We have to go. Unfortunately, I'm sorry to cut you off, but Ricky, we will talk, and you will be back again, folks. I'm sorry to make this as quick, but people want to see the president, and I want you to see the president, and I want to see the president. So thank you all for listening. Please share this information with your friends. I will send out tomorrow the podcast. You're listening to Karen Schoen on American Freedom Watch Radio. I love you all. Have a wonderful week. I will see you again next week. And, Ricky, thank you so much. May God bless you all. God bless all of Americans. We're not going to make any distinctions tonight. And everyone go and listen to our president. Miss Sally, thank you. Ricky, thank you. Wealth of information, greatly appreciated. Good night.
God bless you.
Good night.